Match you 3-2 team. I'm going to read it out of the King James. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us and the adoption of sons. You are our Father. And as we have been taught recently, the earth groaneth for the manifestation of our sonship. May the hearing of your word bring us closer to full mature sonship. We pray that you would let your word and your anointing go forth to the end that you might be glorified, we might be edified. And the kingdom of your Son, Jesus, might be expanded upon the earth to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We have been talking about spheres of influence. And we've said that there are a number of spheres. Those of you that are tracking. And the first of which is self, what I like to call self-governance or self-rule or self-management or self-discipline. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is within us. In other words, it begins with us and it begins to flow out. And so the first place that the manifestation of the kingdom has to be is within my life. And I have said that there are 12 issues in our lives, 12 areas that we have to manage in this sphere. And I call them 12 T's because not only they begin with T, but I've done that so that we could kind of remember. And so we have been talking again about our relationship, managing our relationship with the Son, managing our relationship with the S-O-N, Son, and with an emphasis on the supernatural, managing the supernatural. And I have said to you that the reason that we have to come into the supernatural is that we're at a time in our nation when, as a Christian, you're going to be denied some things. Not only are you going to be denied some things in the world and in the world system, I believe that you're going to find that you're going to be denied some things in the church because there's a line of demarcation that's coming to us that God is... I used to believe that when the rapture takes place, you know, we'll just be gone and then. But what I've come to realize is that there is no way that Jesus will come and just steal this church as we are and take us to heaven. If he did that, he'd have to apologize to a lot of generations of people, which means that before the rapture takes place, there's going to be some purification. And that means that there's only one way that happens. It's through the trying of our faith. which means perilous and turbulent and difficult times are coming, and you can see it. If you have eyes, you can see it. There are things that are happening in our culture that for the first time, if you believe what people have believed for generations, you are considered the bigot. You are considered full of hate. And then we're going to have to make a decision about where we're going to stand. And what happens when, because of your stand, you cannot get the job that you want, nor get any job at all? What happens when you can't go to the doctor? What happens when you can't be admitted to the hospital? Or even worse, what happens when you can't take your child or your grandchild? If we don't know how to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. The reason there are spiritual gifts in the church, in the body, is so that we could be self-sufficient. Amen. The reason God has given us the working of miracles is so that when we are denied the services of trusted human systems, the reason we have the gift of healing is so that we don't have to depend on the hospital. The reason we have the gift of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is so that we can overcome in the marketplace, that like Jesus knew exactly which when to go and which fish to catch to get the gold in its mouth to pay his taxes. So we have got to come to, as the church, we've got to come to that place. And so we started talking about that man at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus asked, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? And so I've said to you, and we've discussed it, that this is the decision that we have to make, and most people in the church really don't want to be made whole. In other words, we do not want to come into the fullness of walking with God. We don't want to come into the Lordship. And one of the reasons for that is that if we like church the way it is, we don't care for it to change. Matter of fact, Jesus would be one of the least likely people that we would invite to church. You remember when Jesus went to the temple, he started overturning things. Do you ever wonder what would happen if Jesus came to church today? What would go? Or who? So you and I have got to begin to understand. First of all, if I'm going to walk in the supernatural, I have to be willing to be made whole. And for most of us, I'm telling you that we're not willing, but we have to be willing to be made willing. We've got to be willing to be made willing. And some of us are farther back than that. We've got to be willing to be made willing to be willing. Because when the supernatural, and I've explained this to you, every time there is a miracle, trouble comes. There is no miracle in the Bible that immediately got followed by trouble. You would think that if you heal a man with his that's been laying up for 38 years, he cannot move. And Jesus says to him, get up, take your bed up, and walk. You'd think that folks would be shouting all the way to church. Instead, trouble broke out. You think if Jesus said to a man with a withered hand, stretch forth your hand, you'd think everybody, whatever I believe, excuse me, whatever I believe about a person before, when they say to a man with a withered hand, stretch forth your hand, and that happened, I'm gonna at least take another look. They got upset. And the reason God cannot operate and move us into the supernatural is because we are not prepared for the backlash. We're afraid of the trouble that comes. So that means that God has to take us through some things to get us ready so that we can walk in the supernatural. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Managing the supernatural, as we understand our relationship with God, and we're going to talk about subjection. Subjection. Interesting passage that we have read. Now, we have always been told that the first miracle that Jesus did, anybody could tell me that? What's the first miracle that Jesus did? Everybody could say he turned water into wine. Because we'll always remember wine. But that wasn't the first miracle that Jesus did. It wasn't the first miracle that Jesus did. If we're going to walk in the supernatural like Jesus, we're going to have to learn to manage submission like Jesus did. The first miracle that Jesus actually did was to, in effect, become man. To take the mighty, almighty, supernatural God and then bring him down into human flesh in a baby, and then put him under the subjection of men, his mom, and everybody in the authority chain. That's the first miracle. But you know, the miracle is for Jesus being all that he was to be submitted. If you and I want to walk in the authority of God, now we understand from the principle of authority. In order to walk in authority, I've got to be under authority. If I'm not under authority, I can't walk in authority. That's why it's important for me to understand what authority stream I'm supposed to be under. Because when I've come under an authority stream, I have got to be submissive, I've got to be subject, and I've got to be obedient. Now, subjection is different from submission. Subjection means that I am placed under. To subject is to place under. Everybody say, place under. So I am placed under. And when I am subjected to someone, I don't always agree with that person, nor do I always have to be obedient to that person. The only reason I can be not be submissive to that person and what they want is when they ask me to do something that's directly contrary to the Word of God. Now, I said to the Word of God. Not to my personal vision. Because a lot of people will not be subjected because they'll say, well, God told me so and so. Well, whatever God told you that's not in his word is under subjection to the leadership that he's placed over you. Now, hold on a second. We're talking about the word of God. Now, if my leader is not subjected to leadership, then already I know that I can't be under his leadership because he can't walk in authority unless he's submitted to authority. All authority comes from God and it comes to me by delegation. That's why the centurion said to Jesus, I am a man subject to authority. And I say to one, come, and he comes. I say to one, go, and he goes. Why? Because I am subject to authority. If I'm not subject to authority, I can't say to one, come. I don't have authority. Jesus says, I haven't met a man that has so much faith because in Israel, because he understood the stream of anointing. And the stream of anointing flows in the direction of authority. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were subjected to their king. Daniel was subject to his king. But then the king gave them an order that was contrary to the word of God. So they could not submit, but they still had to be subject. Now, subjection is a higher principle than submission. Now, they had to be subject, which meant that whatever the consequences the king said, they had to be go through for their inability to submit. They had to subject themselves to it and accept the punishment. They had to accept the consequences. Now, this is how we do it. I'm not going to do what you say, and I ain't going in the fire. I'm not going to do what you say, and I ain't going into no lion's den. Now, understand how authority works. When I am subjected, I have authority over the fire. I have authority over the lion. But I only have that authority if I'm subject to authority. Now, if I decide that I'm going to do something different, I am not subject to authority. And when I'm not subject to authority, I cannot walk in authority. So subjection is what preserves the stream of my authority. Would you say that with me? Subjection protects the stream of my authority. Submission is different. When I submit, there's no consequences for the people that's under me. I am doing that because God requires it. Because obedience is a major principle in the kingdom. Right? So if I'm going to walk in subjection, I'm going to be subjected in one or two things. I'm going to be subjected either by submission, or I'm going to be subjected by consequences. In other words, when they come in here and say, Ford, you have got to marry these two women, I am going to say, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. Then they're going to say, by whose authority? Because on the authority of Barack Obama, you are going to marry these two women. And I am going to say, on the authority of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, I cannot, I will not do that. Then they're going to say, as a result of not doing what the president or the legislature or whoever says, you are going to have to spend 5 years in jail. And I will say, you don't even have to handcuff me. You don't even have to come get me. I'll be there in the morning at 8 o'clock. Matter of fact, you don't even have to post a guard, because as I am going to be there at 8 o'clock. However, When Gabriel comes or Michael comes to break that jail down, just tell your guards to make sure they are prayed up and ready, because something's about to happen. Because when I walk into that jail in subjection, the warden loses his authority, the guards lose their authority. Understand, I am now in charge. That's the scripture. Bible says they took Peter and James and, oh, we want you to shut up. And they said, well, you decide for yourself whether it is right for us to go with you and disobey God. We are going to preach. The Bible says they took them and they put them in prison. But in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord came and got them. This time, he got them secretly. And so in the morning, they are in the temple preaching, and somebody comes to the Sanhedrin and says, did you know that the men that you forbid not to preach and put in prison, they are in the temple walking around and still preaching? And the guards did not even know they were gone. But guess what? If I am not in subjection, I have no authority. Now let's look at Jesus. This is Jesus' journey in submission. We like to say of Jesus that he says, I only do what I see my Father do. We like to say that because that seems spiritual and it gets us off the hook. Look at Matthew 2 and 6. Jesus was first of all subjected to the law and the prophets. It's the Old Testament. He is subjected, the Bible says, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not least among the princesses of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So the prophet said that you had to be born in Bethlehem. So guess what Jesus did? Before he was born, he had to be submitted to that and be born in Bethlehem. The prophet said that he had to be of the seed of David. So guess what? Do you know there were more than 3,000 things that the prophets had said that Jesus, Messiah, had to actually do and be submitted to and come according to it? And in every single case, he did exactly that. So when Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, he's not just rattling something crazy. He's rattling something that he's already fulfilled over 2,500 times by that point. So he was subjected, the Bible says, look at after he was born, Luke 2 and 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As a baby, the law required that when Jesus was 8 days old, he had to be brought to the temple. Now guess what? He is the eternal Word of God. He is God. John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God, but at 8 days old, having been born in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, in the sheep pen, as the prophet said, he is now going according to the law. He's fulfilled the prophets. Now he's going according to the law to be subject. Deuteronomy 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Jesus is, he is the eternal sacrifice. He's coming to die for your sins and mine, and he's on his way to the temple to fulfill the law. It's always amazing to me that people in the States, oh, why don't we see healing? Why don't we hear about it, about that's happening in Africa, and that's happening in India, and happening in China, and why can't it happen here? What is wrong with us? Rebellion. We are not willing to be subjected to the simplest thing. Guess what? In this country, we vote for a president, we elect him today, tomorrow we're talking about him like a dog. As black folks, now this is our time. We've talked about every other president like a dog, but now we don't want folk talking about Barack like a dog. Guess what? He's black. You're doing that because, and then we're going to vote a woman. And so you can't say anything because you can't beat up on the girl. So for 8 years, nothing has been done. Another 8 years, nothing has been done because nobody can say to you, you are not even far. He doesn't even have to follow the Constitution. For the last 8 years, they haven't followed the Constitution. Why? Because I'm black. I don't have to. Therefore, nobody has authority to prosper. So we can say it because we're not subject to anything. We're not even subjected to the law of God. Secondly, Jesus was subjected to his parents. The Bible says in verse 51 of Luke chapter 2, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept these saying in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Now all of us are familiar with this scripture. Jesus is 12 years old and he goes up with his mom and dad to Jerusalem. They're looking for him and he's in the temple confounding the lawyers, the doctors of the law, and everybody. He's got them totally confounded. They leave because he's such a good child. They leave and they're 3 days' journey before they miss him. They turned around because they suppose he's one of the family members because he's a submitted child. When they found that he's not there, they had to turn around. They look all over Jerusalem except the one place that they should have started, and they found Jesus, and Jesus is mystified because now at 12, he is counted a man. He's 13 is his bar mitzvah, and so he understands the law and the custom, and he knows what's ahead of him, and he's there making these arguments and confronting, and his parents says, we've been looking all over for you. You say, how is it that you saw it from, don't you know that I must be in my father's house doing my father's business? And his parents says, no, right now, Joseph is your father. Yeah, we know that, but not yet. We know that, but not until we say so. And the Bible says that Jesus went with them and was subject to them for 18 years. He was subject to them. But under Joseph, not under Jehovah, but under Joseph, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God. That's where God came in. And with man. Because he was subjected to his father's authority. Guess what? You don't hear more about Joseph in the scripture. This verse is all you need to know about Joseph. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's all you need to know about Joseph. That he raised up a son that grew up in wisdom. That he grew up, raised up a son that physically was good and brisk and strong. Jesus wasn't a wamby-pamby. Jesus was a strong, Jesus is a guy that'll have two men laying in his lap like this. Just laying in his lap. Two grown men. Forget that sissified picture you see of Jesus. Jesus was a hunk. And Joseph reared him as a carpenter. Those guys lift stuff. And he grew in favor with God under the authority of Joseph. And for him to transfer from Joseph's fatherhood to God's fatherhood, Joseph had to die. You say, well, you don't hear about Joseph. Where was he? So Jesus said, when your father and your mother is no longer around, I, the Lord, will pick you up. God had to pick him up when the authority over his life was taken away. It takes, if you can't work the miracle of subjection and submission, you will never see a supernatural move of God. You'll never see it. Think about it just in simple terms. How is God going to work a miracle and put you in a job where you're going to testify that he bless you with the job, but you can't submit to authority? How is he going to do that? If you don't learn submission, I can't even send you to McDonald's. The only place I could send you is the military or the prison, because they'll bring you into subjection. You know why our black young men are killing each other and we can't do anything about that? Authority. You know what they say? Oh, he dissed me. You're not submitted to anybody, but you demand and everybody respect you. So you want to run around the neighborhood as a thug, and because I won't respect you, I disrespected you. Bo, you're gone. Now, why the cycle of revenge? Because I've got to show that I am the man and I am not subjected to anybody or any circumstance. How is God going to deliver? And when we have leaders, I don't know if you remember the other day, but last year, just about every African-American leader that was in any city in this area, the FBI jacked them up for something. And we'll say, well, they just targeting. Yeah, they are. But you know you are going to be targeted. But if I'm going to make a change, if I'm not subject to the law, nobody is going to be subject to me. And if nobody is subjected to me, I cannot effect that which God has entrusted me with leadership to do. Jesus submitted himself to his parents for 18 years. And though it seems people say, well, he was missing for 18 years. Where was Jesus for 18 years between 12 and 30? The Bible said he was growing in wisdom and in stature. He grew mentally. He grew physically. He grew spiritually, favor with God. And he grew socially, favor with man. He had to learn how to deal with people. Jesus was so rugged that when he went to fishermen and he said, follow me, they didn't go like, follow him, that guy, that little scrawny guy. No, he said, follow me, guys. Oh, yeah. The miracle of subjection. John's ministry, the Bible says that he subjected to his parents. In the meantime, God has raised up John. John's ministry have started. And so now Jesus, we have talked about this, that John is that transitional standard of righteousness between the dispensation and of the Old and the New Testament. He is given to introduce Jesus. And John is submitted to Jesus. He understands his role. And so the Bible says that then Jesus comes to him to be baptized. And John says, no, I can't baptize you. Do you know what would have happened in that moment if Jesus had not subjected himself to John, to Joseph and Mary? He would have said, John, you're right, I'm the man. Let me baptize you, let me show the people. And he would have missed the step of righteousness. But 18 years with all of those people, look at, why do you think that the Father comes at that moment and says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased? What is he saying that about? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. In that moment, because of his subjection to John. The Father comes now and says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and came upon him because he had subjected himself to the law and the prophets. He subjected himself to the temple leadership. He subjected himself to his parents. And now he comes and subject himself to John's baptism and John's authority, even though he's replacing John. And that's when Father said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Most of us, we believe that when we start doing miracles and we started being the stuff in the church, that God's going to be like, okay, that's my man. That's my daughter. You see how she's preaching? We go like that. You know, oh, if that sister could bring the word. Father, Jesus hadn't done any of that. Excuse me. You understand that? That Jesus had not done any of that. Father comes and says, this is my son. Because Jesus said to John, permit it to be so, John. Let's acknowledge that. But now we have an obligation to fulfill all righteousness. God has ordained your baptism. I have got to come and subject to it. For everybody who subjected themselves to your baptism has to know when I am revealed as Messiah, they also have to know that you are endorsed by me. Because there's three that bear it witness in the earth. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And the Bible says that as he came out, having been subjected. Now, that is 30 years of subjection. And he's not done a thing. And we miss all that. The first miracle of Jesus is he turned water into wine. No, he didn't. Then, in his life, the Holy Spirit comes. And the Bible says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning fell upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now Jesus comes under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon him, and God declares him to be pleased with him. For what? For 30 years of walking in subjection. Can you walk in subjection? Everything that Jesus did got done because of those 30 years. He was not declared an apostle. He was not declared a bishop. He was not declared a teacher. He was not declared an evangelist. He was not declared a prophet. He was declared a son. The whole earth groaneth for the manifestation of sons. The Bible says that they were confused by him because he did not teach them as a prophet. He did not teach them as their father. He taught them as one having authority. As one that have been under subjection. Authority, that authority only comes from subjection. And so the Bible says the Holy Spirit leads him in our text. The Holy Spirit leads him. You'd say, okay, man, it's getting ready to happen. He leads him into the wilderness. Now everybody's filled with the Spirit. You are not under authority, but you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow. Look at the neighbor and say, lie. Lie. Look at somebody and say, lie. Lie. That's why it's difficult for people, even now. Most people will not go where they will be actually taught. You know why? Because we don't want to be subject. I want to go where I can have a good time. I want to go where when I come, nobody knows. When I go, nobody knows. I don't want to be because I don't want to be subject. I'm my own man. Matter of fact, I could stay home. I could stay home on Sunday morning and I could get it on TBN. I really don't have to. People believe that. Why? Because unless you are subject, you have no authority. The reason we are not impacting our culture is because, number one, people who are set in authority do not know how to walk in authority. They're not subject to authority. And people who are under authority are rebellious in their heart, one, and they can't respect the leadership they have. It's difficult. Now he comes to Cana of Galilee. He comes back from the wilderness under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason he's led by the Holy Spirit into the desert is because everything to that point, the righteousness of Jesus was based on his subjection to the people that were in authority over his life. Now he has to learn reliance on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take you in the wilderness away from all of your authority structure. And I'm going to and the devil is going to come now that your authority is there. Every time your authority is not there, Satan comes. Adam went off in the garden. Pop in the garden was a smooth talking serpent. This is why anytime you want to do wrong for young people is that you got to get away from your parents. Whenever you're talking and you can't let your parents hear what you're saying, you already know you're in trouble. Somebody, I'm trying to be good. And so the devil comes to tempt him. His father said, hear ye him. In other words, this is the time that God has placed his commission on Jesus to declare the truth about who he was, the truth about who Father was, and the work of the Holy Spirit. But guess what? Jesus now is burdened by 100% flesh, and he's got to now walk. He's got to walk as a man. So he comes into the wilderness. We hate the wilderness. This is a good time to say amen. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. I hate the wilderness. I don't like it. I don't like the loneliness of it. That's why they call it the wilderness. It's not heavily traveled. But John was in the wilderness. When I come under the baptism of John, I've got to come to the wilderness. You've got to learn dependence on the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is on him like the Holy Spirit was on David, but he's not yet released. But he and his disciples are invited to Cana of Galilee, and the wine runs out, and they come to the person who has the authority on Jesus, his mother. His father is God. Jesus is now head of household. He's the firstborn. Joseph is gone. He's the direct priest. You see that? But his mom's authority, his mom's office, his mom's anointing is not negated because he is ascended. What did I just say? We have problems with people when God begins to ascend us and lift us up. We kind of feel, I am. There's nothing as dangerous as when God begins to bring you into your office as to disrespect people whose office has brought you to your place in the first place. So Mary's authority is intact. And Jesus is walking in authority. Yes, he has a direct relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is our problem. Our direct leadership of the Holy Spirit, first of all, has got the first thing the Holy Spirit has to teach you is that you're not the only person in authority, and you still have to be subject to authority that's around you. So he brings him into this Cana of Galilee situation, and the wine runs out, and they don't come to Jesus, they come to Mary. And Mary says to them, this time, everybody in Nazareth knew about Mary's story. They knew the anointing upon her. They knew she was blessed and highly favored because the angel said to her, from now on, all generation shall call you blessed. They called her blessed. And so when wine ran out, they came to the woman that was blessed. But she said, hallelujah. Woo! Jambundo little bahanda. She said, whatever he said. They came to John one day, and John says, behold, the Lamb of God. They said, John, you are Elijah. He said, yes. But you don't have to be afraid of the people who have been set in their place because God has a call on your life. The people that are truly set will recognize you and release you when the moment comes. She said to them, I know I am blessed. But my greatest blessing is being able to be used of God to bring the light, the Messiah, into the world. And guess what? He's now under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I've just turned him loose. Whatever he said to you to do, do it. Our time's up. Thank you for yours.